Empire Notes are weekly commentaries filed by Rahul Mahajan, author of Full Spectrum Dominance and the New Crusade. Today's commentary is about Obama, Iran, and Latin America.
Barack Obama continues to impress. Bush's idiotic comments to the Knesset, in which he labeled all talks with enemies or opponents appeasement, thus tarring the Israeli government, which is in talks with Syria as we speak, have set off a new round of hyperventilation and saber-rattling over Iran. The money in the bank expectation would be for the Democratic candidate to try to compete in bellicosity, soberly agreeing that Iran posed a fundamental existential threat about which something must be done. Hillary Clinton would have done it in a heartbeat were she not so intent on hard-working whites like Bobby Kennedy. But Obama, in a huge departure from tradition, actually pushed back, and not just with vague talk about the need for diplomacy, pointing out that militarily and politically, Iran is nothing compared to the old Soviet Union with whom we negotiated. He actually had the temerity to ask, "What are George Bush and John McCain afraid of?" This is a question almost unimaginable in American politics. True, you could get it from, say, Mike Gravel, but his words don't exactly carry a lot of weight, despite the brilliance of his campaign videos. And yet, for all Ahmadinejad's bombast, the obvious truth is that the current regime in Iran is run by a bunch of deeply conservative old men who are afraid of any changes to the status quo. Khomeini has been dead for 20 years, and the Islamic Revolution died with him. The phenomenon of revolution leading to reaction and eventually to stodgy conservatism and stasis is hardly a new one. This conservatism was bad news for the lukewarm reform efforts of Khatami, and is bad news for the student pro-democracy movement, but if any country does not want to be on a collision course with Israel, it's Iran. Iran's support for Hezbollah, incidentally, is of a piece with this conservatism. Do remember that the natural state of affairs is for Israeli troops not to be occupying southern Lebanon. On the other hand, Obama's recent address to the Cuban American National Foundation was deeply disappointing. It's hard to tell how much of it is pander and how much his own analysis. It is indubitable that he lacks the depth and insight on foreign policy that he has with regard to domestic issues. Although he still easily beats Hillary Clinton and John McCain, let us not succumb to the soft bigotry of low expectations. Anyway, after years of flirting with the obvious position that the embargo on Cuba serves little purpose except to kill the vulnerable who need access to the medicines that only the United States produces, Obama clearly said he would keep the embargo, although he would talk to Raul Castro. Of course, if he's committed to the embargo, what exactly is there to talk to Raul about? Even more disturbing, because it was hardly a necessary pander, was the seeming desire to maintain or even expand the counterinsurgency in Colombia. With the death of Manuel Marulanda, wouldn't this be a good time to suggest a new rapprochement in Colombia between the government and the FARC and an end to the violence, instead of continually maintaining the fiction that the government is somehow a mere policeman trying to control both right-wing and left-wing violence? Both the good and the bad point to the real possibility of constructive engagement by the left with the Obama campaign and the Obama phenomenon. Many left activists have for months now been advocating that the left get involved because the incipient movement holds great progressive promise, but is also at this point held together only by charisma rather than by any sort of coherent programmatic analysis. In this view, that is what the left would provide while simultaneously proselytizing within the movement. I agree with all of this analysis, particularly about the formlessness of the Obama movement and to some extent of Obama himself, but it still strikes me as particularly one-eyed. That there is much we can teach the Obama movement is not in question. But, and this will be a hard pill to swallow for some of us on the left, one of the reasons everybody hates us is that we think we know everything. Personally, I think we can also learn a great deal from Obama, not just about on-the-ground organizing and democratization of politics, but on how to think about and frame political issues. If we haven't learned something about race in America, first from Obama's meteoric rise, and second from his speech on race, then we're fools. And if we miss the teachable moment represented by his movement, then we should just get into a different business. For Empire Notes, this is Rahul Mahajan.
Empire Notes is online at www.empirenotes.org.